General Meetings, Wheaton, August 1975. Gospel by Paul Gibberden.
Shall we sing together? Number 6, God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified, 'twas for sinners Jesus died. Sin and death no more shall reign, Jesus died and lives again. In the glory's highest height, see him, God's supreme delight. All who in his name believe, everlasting life receive. Lord of all is Jesus now, every knee to him must bow. Christ the Lord will come again, he who suffered once will reign. Every tongue at last will own Jesus Christ as Lord alone. Oh, the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light, God is love. Number 6. sing another. Oh, blessed gospel sound, number 15. And shall we stand and sing this? Please stand. And number 15.
Forgiven thee.
perhaps we have the earliest mention of the forgiveness of sins in the New Testament, we know that his name was to be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. But here's a man brought. And this is what should happen to you tonight. There are many prayers in that direction that would bring you into the presence of the Lord for the blessing that he's able to convey to you. This man was sick of the palsy. He had that specific need. But there was another need, perhaps, that he didn't realize as well as he realized the need of the cure of his body. You know, oftentimes our emphasis is on the material things, the health that we have, and so on. When the most important thing of all may be neglected, the question of the forgiveness of our sins and the blessing of our souls. So this man got a twofold blessing. Son, be of good cheer. And you can be of good cheer tonight, too, because there's a Savior for sinners. The faithful sing and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul pinned that as he wrote to Timothy, and he added, of whom I'm chief. Son, be of good cheer. You need something for your heart. The world brings disappointment. There's no satisfaction that can be had in all that this poor world offers. You certainly need Christ to fill that heart of yours and give you the satisfaction that you need in this life. And it's durable, too. It's not only for the present, it's for all eternity. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Son, be of good cheer. That must have been a warming word to that dear man as he was brought there into the presence of the Lord of heaven, the Lord of glory. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, this is a direct answer to a psalm. Because we read in the Psalms, as we read over to the 103rd Psalm, there we have a statement like this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And this was the character of the blessing that prevailed at that moment when our Lord was here going about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It was an earthly order of blessing that he would introduce. But still he was being rejected. And right away we see that those who were in positions of authority in that day saying, this man blasphemeth. They didn't realize who he was. God present on the earth. Emmanuel, come down in grace to his people here below. And there was this blessing that could be had, blessing for the body and blessing for the soul. And that type of blessing prevailed for some time. There were gifts, you know, in the beginning that were current with the introduction of Christianity. But the kingdom was not established in power. It's in suspension now, in abeyance. And that kind of blessing didn't extend to the earth. But oh, there's deeper blessing because of the rejection of Christ. The blessing of our souls. Becoming a child of God forever. And being blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Oh, that's the better range of blessing that comes in after the rejection of Christ and his crucifixion at the cross. But there was blessing for those at that time. There's nothing about redemption here. But our blessed Lord, being God down here, could speak of the forgiveness of sins. And we hear him say, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And let us realize that tonight, that if our sins are forgiven, they must be forgiven while we're here on this earth. When we've slipped away, it's too late. So it's very important for you to hear the word and to believe on that blessed one that God has sent into this world. And that's what we were singing together in the first hymn that we lifted from the beginning of the page. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. And here we find him in contact with a soul, with an individual, with this man that was stricken with the palsy. He was helpless. He couldn't come himself. Others brought him along to the presence of our blessed Lord. And he spoke cheer to that dear one's heart. And also a word to his conscience that his sins were forgiven. What about yours? This man had sins. And is there anyone that does not have sins? For we've all sinned. And that is common among men, among the human race. It extends to all alike, the practice of sin. We know that we've sinned. We certainly do. We have to admit that. We need to own it. And to confess the need of the Savior, we need our sins forgiven. I like to think, you know, sometimes of how nice you are. You lovely little girls going to and from the dining room, some barefooted and some in shoes, and little boys throwing the ball in the corridor, full of energy and life. But they might have said, you know, we didn't do it. We're sometimes like the cake that Mother makes. She puts the icing on the outside. That's where the sugar is, and that's where we like to put the sugar on the outside and have a good appearance and not being willing to admit that we were wrong, that we've made a mistake, that we've come short in some way. Oh, we never were taught how to do those things that are displeasing to the Lord. That came natural to us. That was natural. And to hear the message to this man is, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh, there's a dear mother in Kentucky with a little baby boy, precious he is, born, you know, with a defect in the heart, and the circulation is not what it ought to be. And her heart is torn in tender sympathy to the need of that dear child. And oh, if the Lord Jesus were here, she would be taking that little one to him, but still that's not the character of the blessing that we have before us today. That's been deferred. So we have our ailments, our diseases, because it's not the order of the blessing that we have now. So this is a case of the forgiveness of sins. We don't know if it's judicial. Perhaps it doesn't go that far, but it does say, thy sins are forgiven. And he'll say that to you. And isn't it nice to know, isn't it wonderful to know that God in mercy sent his Son to this world by sin undone, that Jesus has really been here? And how often we're glad to sing, I wish that his hands had been placed on my head. We wish that we could have been there at that time. but still there are better things because of his rejection, and we can know him still today, tonight, and you ought to get into his acquaintance now. Well, we find there's something else as we turn a little farther over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And we'll turn to that and hold just for a moment, because it's a little difficult, you know, in speaking to put things together as they ought to be. And we've asked for the direction of the Lord, and we do indeed wish that. Mark chapter 5, we'll come to something. It seems to be in that place. But we notice here in this passage that we've had under consideration that right away our Lord calls Matthew, who was sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax gatherer, a publican who was in disrepute and ill favor with the people because he collected taxes. And it seems to be a special classification of those that are unwanted or that have come short in some way that are sinners. But our Lord called him, and this was not in keeping, you know, with the order of things that prevailed at that time. But he called this man, Matthew. He said, "Follow me." And immediately arose and followed him. There's a ready response. He acted in faith. And blessing comes, you know, when we act in faith, when we believe God's word. He had a word from the Lord, and he responded immediately. He believed, he followed. And then he invited the Lord to come into his house, and sinners came together. Many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And there was complaint about this. And it had to be explained that the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. So God is coming out in grace to this world. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And here we have the call of a sinner, called by the Savior from above, called by that Son of Man who has power on earth to forgive sins. And he was brought into blessing, and we know that he followed on to that blessing that the Lord brought in fully through his sacrifice at the cross. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. God wants to display his grace. He wants to exercise his grace towards you. He wants you to know what he can do for you. Man begins at the wrong end, usually, consistently. Rather, he begins to think of what he's able to do for the Lord. And really, we're not able to do anything for him because we're without strength, as we heard today. Without strength. Dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, we need God's grace to us. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. So there cannot be any doubt tonight, if you're honest with yourself, that the Lord doesn't want to bless you. I will, he says, be thou pleased. And he called this man, and he followed him, and there was blessing. Now in our chapter in Mark 5, we find our Lord coming into a place and in contact with a man that had gotten completely overboard. He was out in the far reaches of the enemy's power. It wasn't the ordinary ministry of the word that is exercised in this chapter. That was in the previous chapter. And here's a man that is possessed with an evil power, and the Lord comes to bless him. And these portions bring before us the character of the blessing at that time that the Lord brought when he came to the earth. He came in contact with this man that was possessed with demons. They were legion. And he delivered this soul. So isn't it precious and wonderful what the gospel will do, what the Lord can do for souls? He brings deliverance. This man is freed. Oh, he'd had a hard life. He'd torn himself among the stones, and he was never bound by the fetters, the regulations that were imposed upon him. The power of the enemy was so strong, and he was fighting so that he was completely taken. And there's a danger of that kind of thing today. You might be completely taken. A man went to Brazil as a missionary, and he was there to proclaim the message of God's grace, if he knew it. And he ran across Buddhism, and he was overtaken by it, so he's engaged in that kind of thing today and writes books about it. He lives nearby, at home. So we need to beware of that kind of thing. Oh, it's the word of God that will bring blessing to you, that will bring deliverance to your soul. And the man having been blessed, the Lord is about to go away, and they didn't want the Lord there. The people in general, they came out, they saw the loss that they had sustained by the swine going into the sea and being choked in the blood. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. When he was coming to the ship and ready to go, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to go along. We know about some that have wanted to go home. The prodigal wanted to go home in the 15th of Luke. The apostle wanted to go home, as we read about it in Philippians chapter 1, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He wanted to go home. But it was needful for him to stay a while where he was, so he stayed about 5 years more to help the Philippian saints and to go ahead with the ministry that he could exercise among those people that he was acquainted with. But here's this man, he didn't want to stay home. He's about to go. He wants the Lord to take him along in this boat. Perhaps he thought it would be a little difficult to remain there now. His life had been such, and there's such that shame connected with it. And he'd like to go along with the Lord. But moreover, it must be that he was attracted by that one that had exercised that great power in his deliverance and had brought such blessing to him that a Savior, oh, what a lovely, blessed Savior is the Lord. Just think of that precious Savior down here in this world, coming so close to us in all of our need. Sin apart, of course. But he became a man. He came into this world. You know the truth had prevailed for a long time that there's one God. All that had been heard 2,000 years or more. But there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That was new. And that's what we have now. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Between God and men. Oh, it's not a question of Jew or Gentile. It's between God and men. There's a mediator, and Job longed for that, you know. Oh, he wished for a daysman to come in betwixt himself and God, they might be brought together. But there's a Savior tonight. There's a mediator. He pleads your cause. He's undertaken for you. He's been here in this world. He's acquainted with your needs. And he knows that you need his acquaintance. And this man wanted to go. He that was possessed with the demon prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and had compassion on thee. That's what he was to do. He was to tell of what the Lord had done for him, and also to bring out the compassions of the Savior's heart. For in that we see God's love to the sinner, his grace, and his mercy that is extended to all men everywhere. So in these cases we have something of the Lord's ministry at that time and the blessing that he brought to souls in that day. But now we can turn a little farther over, for in singing the second hymn, we were considering the blessed gospel sound. That's the message. And so our Lord has gone away. He was rejected, crucified at the cross. Oh, lovely one, that blessed Savior. They went to take him, you know, and they had to admit that never man spake like this man. And others were made to marvel at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And Pilate, in his position of indifference and lack of care and consideration to the need of an innocent one, had to confess, I find no fault in him. No fault in him. And the centurion had to say, this is a righteous man. And think of that blessed one on the cross. As he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you match words like those? And observe how tenderly he commends his mother to the care of that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, standing by there. Woman, behold thy son. And could he be concerned with a dying thief there at his side in a moment like that, when he's under the stress and pain of all the agonies of that cross? This was still in the daylight. And that repentant soul turned to the Lord, and he said, Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And immediately the Lord could turn in blessing to him and say, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So that was important, wasn't it? That was the blessing that he needed. You know, Stephen was stoned to death. His life was being crushed out of him in the end of the chapter where he gave his address. And he was kneeling and he was calling upon God. And what was he saying? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's not all that he said. But we'll take that statement. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He'd seen Jesus standing in the right hand of God, and the glory of God had overwhelmed him. His face shone as an angel, we read a little before that. And he could look up in confidence and say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But a little later on, we read, you know, that devout men took Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. That was the body. So which is the more important, the blessing of the body or the blessing of the soul? Oh, it's the blessing of the soul that you need. That's the blessing that really counts today. The forgiveness of sins. The possession of eternal life, being born again, being a child of God forever, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the way you become his child. And then we are brought into those blessings that are so wonderful. Having peace with God, standing in grace and rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. What a future belongs to the believer. That's the heavenly order of blessing. And that's directly connected with that soul. We've been given that capacity, you know, to go on into eternity to the praise and glory of God. So let us be sure that our sins are forgiven and that we hear the words of our blessed Lord as he spoke to a needy soul, a poor woman. And her name is not given. And sometimes we put up a shield and do not give the name. She was a sinner, but she responded to the Savior. She tasted that the Lord was gracious. She put herself at his feet. She was repentant because she washed his feet with the hairs of her head. She believed. She came. She came to the Savior. She came to Jesus, the Lord. She believed. She confessed him without saying a word. A noble confession. And he said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And he said that to you. Perhaps he said it to me. He'll say it to others tonight. He wants you to receive the forgiveness of your sins. Now there are other things, the message that was left. They were to begin at Jerusalem and to preach the message, you know, among all nations. The message of the death and resurrection of Christ. Peter preached, you know, about the resurrection, about the repentance and remission of sins. And that Christ was exalted and made Lord. He had a message in the second of Acts. And there was a message that he took to Cornelius one day later on. And Cornelius was a good man. And everyone needs the Savior, whether you're good or bad. And the gospel can bless you equally. And perhaps the one that has gone the furthest away, although you do not go that way in order to receive or increase the blessing, God forbid. But there's blessing for you, and he'll grant it to you. And he wants you to be saved, to have the salvation of your soul. And that message was given. He feared God. He prayed. And he gave alms. And he was a man that was exercised. And perhaps you have some little movement in this direction. Aren't you concerned? The day of grace is about over. If the writer, under inspiration, were pinning the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, now perhaps he wouldn't have to go any further than the first verse. Remember now thy Creator on the days of thy youth. You're young now. That's the time to remember the Lord. There follows a description of old age. And you may never reach old age because we're right at the close of the day of grace. Everything indicates it, and our Lord has promised, and he's anxious to come. Still, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And the door of grace is still open tonight, and you can still come in and receive the fullness of blessing that God has for you, that he has brought to you because of the sacrifice of Christ at the cross. Well, others come into blessing, too. Paul did. Saul, why persecutest thou me? Oh, there must have been some tenderness in those words that moved him deeply. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he got blessing. Oh, what a blessing that man realized. He didn't get the cure of his body. Perhaps he couldn't throw the stones there when Stephen was stoned to death because his eyesight was bad. They laid down their clothes at his feet, a young man named Saul. And later on he prayed, you know, for the removal of the thorn for the flesh. But the answer was, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, there's blessing that goes beyond just the mere blessing in material things, in the health of the body. You know, what we have in Christ doesn't depend on good health anyway. Oh, your health may fail, you get old, and things dim for you. But you still have the same full blessed portion in Christ that you had in the time before. Oh, the blessing is full and complete. And we'll come into the realization of it in that day when we have our new bodies. So Paul had a message. He received a message. Did Paul have sins? Oh, he was a polished man. He was cultured. He was educated. And he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he was a Pharisee. And he had a zeal for God. But he was against Christ. He didn't know the Lord Jesus. And he, for that reason, took the position of being the chief of sinners. Oh, he needed the Savior too, and he heard the word of the Lord. How did those get blessing on the day of Pentecost? Peter preached the word to them. How did they get blessing in Samaria? Philip preached Christ to them. How did Paul get blessing? He had a direct, special message from the Lord. He heard the word of the Lord and he responded to it. And how is there blessing for others? It's through the word. Oh, it's the word of God that brings blessing to us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we find that Paul indeed had his sins because he was told to arise and to wash away thy sins. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Of course, we don't see that as being judicial, but it had its place. He had sins. And he took the place of a sinner. He was an overbearing, insolent man before. But he was gentle as a nurse afterwards that would nurse her own children. Oh, the change that came into that man's life because of his acquaintance with the Lord Jesus. That was a transformation, and he came to know the riches of God's grace. And the proclaimer of the unsearchable riches of Christ, and of the blessing that reached, that was spread abroad to all men everywhere. Oh, he magnified his office as he preached the gospel to others and brought them into the knowledge of the truth. So there's a message that he had for others. He took the message, you know, to that Philippian jailer. And you wouldn't expect the Philippian jailer to be a devout man that feared God, that was praying and that was giving alms to the people. No, he was a rather hardened character, you would observe or conclude. Yet there was blessing for that man, too. He came trembling, you know, when he was shaken because of what had happened. He sprang in, he called for a light. And the word of blessing to his soul was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then in the 13th of Acts, which we passed over, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe. Oh, it's that simple. All that believe. It is of faith, that it might be by grace. If it weren't by faith, it'd have to be on some other principle. Oh, God's grace to sinners. We see it in the Lord Jesus as he brought forgiveness to that man with the palsy. As he spoke forgiveness to that woman in the 7th of Luke. And he brought deliverance to that soul that was completely taken under the power of Satan. Oh, what power and blessing. Be of good cheer, he said to that man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And he'd like to speak those same words of good cheer to you here tonight. He wants you to be saved. Oh, there's a danger and delay. You'll be exposed to the judgment that is due this world because of its rejection of Christ. You need the Savior now. Now is the accepted time. It's now that the Word is very nigh you. It's now that you know the message of salvation, that you've heard the gospel in these meetings together, and you've heard the gospel many times in your history here as an individual. For likely you've heard the gospel on an average of about 60 times a year. And that could be increased considerably by special meetings. And if you're 10 years old, that is of responsible age, you've heard the gospel 600 times. This man heard it once. That woman heard it one time. Paul heard it once. These responded, and what can you do? What will you do tonight? Aren't you attracted by the loveliness of this blessed Savior? The Savior of the world, the Savior of sinners, that lovely one that came so close to us and wants to bring us into the fullness of blessing that can be ours now. You know, we get the character of the blessing in our day in the verse that came to our attention as we were together here in this room this morning. That as sin hath reigned unto death, that's the history, that's the record. We must agree that it's true that sin has had a long reign, a great power over the human race. Even so might grace reign unto righteousness. Through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now there was a little defect in the reading of that verse, so may I repeat it. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the blessing that you can have now. Grace is reigning through righteousness. Oh, deliver us from preaching a gospel of world improvement. This world is under the sentence of God's judgment. And just as soon as the day of grace has run its course, judgments will fall. And it cannot be improved. Oh, it's better because we are here, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. But this world cannot be improved through its own efforts. The only way that peace will come to this world is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing for you now is to be blessed as an individual. And the Spirit of God is taking out of this world a people for the name of Christ. He's saving a soul here and now, here and there. And taking them out of this world that's doomed for judgment. And what about you tonight? This is an individual thing. And wouldn't you like to be delivered from the course of this world? Oh, we're walking according to the course of this world ordinarily. But there's deliverance for you. He'll save you. And you say you can't hold out. Oh, we were reading today about being saved by his life. If through the weakness of Christ, so to speak, we were saved by his death on the cross, he's risen, he's glorified, he's up there, and we shall be saved by his life. He'll take us safely home. So you need not fear. He wants you to come into the blessing that can be yours by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we were saying that the word is nigh thee. And we read something about that on that order in the 10th of Romans. It's a quotation from Deuteronomy, a reference to the word there, but here it's applied to Christ. Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Verse 6. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? All the work's been done. The Savior's been here. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. What about confessing the Lord? Can't you say a word to the Lord Jesus? Think of what he's offered to you. He gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. He wants you to be sheltered from the storm of judgment that'll come. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. You've heard it a long time. You've memorized it. It's in your mouth. The word of faith, which we preach, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a good word to stop on, isn't it? Saved? If thou shalt believe with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now will you go away? Can you afford to run the risk? Why not come to that Savior tonight? It was simple for the man beside him when he said, Lord. It's just as simple for you. Why not utter your faith in that blessed one from your heart, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to the eternal good of your soul, to the glory of God. And oh, what a day awaits the redeemed when we shall sing together of being there in his presence and likeness, and the basis of it, the precious blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. Thou shalt be saved. But you can't be if you don't receive the Lord Jesus. You may know all about it, but it's necessary for you to receive him. This man did. Others have. And you may. The door is open wide at this moment. And now is the time. Shall be saved. Wouldn't you like to have that word on your wall? True of you? Saved. Saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace reigning through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll sing number 21. Christ alone can save, break the power of sin. Christ does fully satisfy the heart that cleaves to him. Decide for Christ today, confess him as thy Lord. Proclaim to all the Savior's worth, how faithful is his word. Number 21.